The Boston Celtics are NBA champions once again.
Anything's possible!
Get the duck boats ready. After 39 long years, the cup is back home. The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions. It hasn't happened at Fenway Park for 95 years. The Red Sox are world champions.
For Adam Vinatieri, 48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap, ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way, and it is good!
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal, and the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The best team in the National Football League!
Wilson, quick throw. And it's good! Intercepted! Intercepted! Malcolm Butler! Butler has it at the one! Malcolm Butler! Stepping in front of the throw!
No way!
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I wanna say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just wanna use your love.
Welcome to the Sports Podcast, because the world always needed another one. I'm Alex Wong.
I'm Matt Dressens, and let's try to keep this on the rails as much as we can.
Yeah, so just to give a little intro, so me and Matt have known each other for a little bit. We're both Boston sports fans.
Yeah, we both went to Medfield High in South Shore, I guess you want to call it, Massachusetts, and growing up, Patriots, Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox, Revolution, whatever Boston sports team you can think of, we've probably watched or covered it. So that's the intro for us. I think we'll talk about the Pats and the Chiefs to start off today.
Yeah, so obviously this is the game that we were paying closest attention to, had the most riding on, Patriots 27, Chiefs 20. Actually, an interesting dynamic, I guess, is that Matt has season tickets for the Patriots, so he's at every home game, pretty much, and I'm watching on my TV. So, you know, we're texting during the game so we can talk about anything that, like, we're seeing that the other one's not. So, I guess, Matt, like, what was the atmosphere like in the stadium, first playoff game of the year?
First game of the year, well, got there, it was raining. Got there around 12:30, real early, partied in the parking lot. It was a good time, and then walking around, there were a lot of Chiefs fans. I thought it was going to be a little louder for the Chiefs side, but slow start kind of killed them for whatever reason. They didn't make their presence known. I was actually sitting next to two Chiefs fans, and they kind of kept it together throughout the game. But definitely Patriots home crowd, fun playoff game. Yeah, going down on the opening drive, definitely a good thing to get the crowd into it. So everyone was, as Brady likes to call, lubed up and ready to go that one. So, no, it was fun. It was just a typical playoff game, though. Not like the Ravens game last year or anything.
Where that one was definitely far more intense.
Definitely.
The Time Hop app on my phone, a couple days ago, Ravens feed was popping up that day. And looking back on that was...
That game was
nuts. I can't believe I didn't have a heart attack that day. That was wild. But talking Chiefs... I guess the big thing coming into this one was, obviously, Jeremy Maclin wasn't 100%. He was arguably their best receiver all year.
Still played well, though.
He did. But I guess a lot of the talk coming in was the Patriots defense, their secondary stopping Travis Kelce, who people, they've been calling him, you know, Gronk-like, Gronk Jr. And he only had 6 catches for 23 yards and no scores after. I don't know if you saw this because you were in stadium, but before the game, you know, Brady does the run out and sort
I did
of
see this video.
And he was mocking Brady.
I did see that.
You know, so he was quiet after that. Patrick Chung, Patriot safety, put him in his back pocket.
Very well.
He's been great all year, actually. But, yeah, Alex Smith, they forced Alex Smith to throw 50 times, which I don't think Andy Reid wanted to do. And Andy Reid is another...
Yeah, that's another one to talk about.
That was a perfect Andy Reid football game, mismanaging the clock at the end.
Not that the Patriots managed the clock very well either. They had the ball with, what, 6.5 to go, and they ran about
like that.
2 plays and 2 throws. And I don't know why you wouldn't just run the ball if you're McDaniels there. And
yeah.
You can at least chew clock, even if you don't get a first down. You probably kill 2 minutes, and you really got to make Andy Reid clock manage, which obviously you couldn't do anyway.
Yeah. But that entire game, I mean, it was nice to see. Obviously, Julian Edelman was back to as close to 100% as he could be. Patriots just, they're a lot healthier than we've seen in the past few weeks, which was nice. And they really got back to that air-it-out attacking offense versus the not-so-great conservative.
Yeah, hand the ball to Jackson 6
yeah,
times.
That was the less of Steven Jackson we see, the better, I guess. But
I think so.
That was great to see.
Having Edelman back changes everything. You can put Amendola on the punt return, and he actually, you know, catches
that
the ball.
Death Wish Danny, as Michael Hurley of CBS Sports likes to say. But Amendola, let's talk about him for a quick second. That punt,
that was great.
That laying the Chiefs player out on the punt return near the goal line was awesome, and it looked like. What was your vantage point of it? How did it look from the stands? Because on TV, I know at first glance, I don't know if it was just the camera angle or what, but it definitely looked like he could have been ejected. And as I started to show replays, it didn't look as bad.
From up top where I am, we're on the 20-yard line in the side of the stadium where the banners are and stuff, so the closed area. So that punt happened down by the lighthouse. And from where I was, it really looked like Amendola just blocked him. And then we saw the replay, and we're like, oh, no, he killed him. Yeah, he killed him.
Boom, you are dead.
Yeah.
Kind of situation.
But originally, I thought he just blocked him so the ball could roll in the end zone. And then, like, looking back, it didn't really matter. It was half the distance to the goal. So instead of having it on the 4, we had it on the 2, and then we went 98 yards and scored a touchdown. So
yeah.
In the end, it really didn't matter. But, no, I didn't think he should have got ejected, but obviously I didn't have the greatest view of it.
Now, it was something that I saw on Twitter as it happened, and then on the internet after the game where, I mean, you name it, Chiefs fans, Jets fans, Giants fans, all of them were saying how dirty of a hit it was. Comparing it to Vontaze Burfict the week before, they said on Antonio Brown, not even close. Because they were saying that Amendola left the crown of his helmet, and it was a helmet-to-helmet hit.
But, hit him in the chest.
Yeah, it was, I guess one thing that people brought up was, I mean, Amendola's receiver, so he's not used to blocking. So it was kind of awkward for him, and just sort of the way that their bodies were moving at the time of impact, where Amendola was trying to go down, but so was the Chiefs player. So it made it look a lot worse than it was, but it was a helmet right underneath, shoulder right beneath the chin.
Yeah.
Helmet was to the side, which is how you're supposed to hit. It wasn't below the waist, it wasn't really a head shot. I mean, you can make the case it was unnecessary roughness or a personal foul or whatever, but... Definitely not. I saw somebody...
I mean, you are allowed to block the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's technically a block. He didn't, like, tackle him or anything. Like, it wasn't interference. It wasn't... Another thing I saw brought up was, like, the defenseless receiver. And You can't be a defenseless receiver when you're a
not
gunner
a
on the punt team. So that goes out the window. And it's a formality, I guess. But people talk about, like, targeting penalties and ejections. It was just another excuse, I guess, as to why the Patriots would win. But, I mean, I'll take the 2-yard personal foul, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, at least he had the presence of mind to block him if that's what he actually was doing. I mean, if you watch the Steelers game, there was a punt, I think it was in the third quarter, where Bryant, he just didn't block the guy, and the Broncos guy just kept it out of the end zone on the 1-yard line. So, I mean, not that it mattered, the Chiefs still stopped the ball on the 2. So,
yeah.
So, there's that. Then there's the other games this weekend, Denver-Pittsburgh, we just mentioned.
That one I didn't keep as close of an eye on. It was still on, but I wasn't as zeroed in on it. The one play that everyone was talking about was the Peyton Manning.
The fall down play?
Yeah, the fall down play where I just saw on Twitter a couple minutes ago where I think it was Deadspin was reporting that Manning told Emmanuel Sanders, who caught the pass, to be ready for it, be ready for the fake fall down. I mean, if that was the Patriots, everyone would be calling us cheaters, but whatever.
I don't know. It's a sneaky play. I thought he was down, but I guess not. He did kind of just trip up and then get right back up and throw it. It's not like he slid and then got up, threw it.
It was sort of the same thing as, you know, if a receiver catches it and they're running it open in the open field and they trip and they fall. It's not down, but that was the big play that sort of sparked the internet's intrigue. I mean, the Steelers, they weren't completely healthy either. I mean, no. D'Angelo Williams has been out for a couple weeks. He's been their bell cow since, I mean, week one against the Patriots, he was their guy. And then when Le'Veon Bell came back, and he's arguably one of the best running backs in the league.
And then obviously Brown.
And Antonio Brown. So, you know, you've got three guys there, and Bell, Brown, and Williams, that are major contributors to this team, the Steelers team. Not being there, Big Ben's obviously a little bit banged up with the shoulder. It was a good effort from the Steelers, but if we're being honest, I would have much rather be playing the Broncos than the Steelers. If they get Brown and possibly Williams back, that gives them a much bigger advantage versus going to Denver and playing noodle arm Peyton Manning.
Yeah, he really can't throw. And it was pretty apparent. Like, they kept showing the slow-mo of the ball.
And it looked
like a Tip Wakefield.
It looks like a tip. And, oh, wait, that's just Peyton Manning being Peyton Manning now.
We could talk about Phil Simms for a second, how insufferable he is to listen to.
And Nance, too, because Nance is a big Peyton Manning guy, I know. And was it Nance that a couple weeks ago was asked if he was going to talk about the Manning situation with the HGH on air?
And he
was like, oh, no, like that's a non-issue, but... It's, again, the ridiculous double standard of Manning and Brady, where Brady will not get that benefit of the doubt. But, so Nance and Simms, they're calling the AFC title game,
and
right?
They're calling the Super Bowl.
That, oh, God.
I might have to just go to Santa Clara. I don't even care if the Patriots are in it. I might just have to go, because I can't listen to those two guys. But
it's the amount of Peyton Manning, like... Just the it's going to be talking about Manning versus Brady again. It's going to be talking about, is this going to be Peyton Manning's last game ever? It's going to be so.
How many times do you think the 06 AFC Championship game?
God, that would suck. That would suck.
They're going to bring that up every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the Patriots are up. Nope. Remember this? Like Manning drove him down the field.
Even the AFC title game 2 years ago when we went to Denver.
Yeah, where Matt Slater was one of our receivers.
Yeah.
We had nobody else.
It was the Wes Welker hit on Aqib Talib.
Yeah.
And of course, Talib's now in Denver. But looking at.
I actually watched none of that game. I had a hockey practice and I was watching it at a small TV at the Norfolk Arena.
That game was. I remember it being sort of like a slow death where, like.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't kill you right away. It was like. They gave you a little bit of hope and then they just took it right away a couple times.
That was the whole. Like really, the whole season that year, like the way they went 12-4 that year was ridiculous.
Yeah.
The game against the Browns, where they got the onside kick and went down and scored, and then obviously the Saints game.
Yeah,
but I don't know. That team was had no business being in the AFC Championship game, and that just shows the coaching, I think, more than anything.
So now looking at the AFC title game, going to Denver now, what's going to be the key for the Patriots to come out victorious? I mean. To be honest, I think we both think that they're going to win anyway, but
I think you got to make Manning throw the ball. So you got to shut down the run. I was looking at the weather. It's supposed to be like 50, so I don't know if it ever actually does get cold in Denver anymore, because the last time we played there, it was about 75.
Yeah.
I think you got to make Manning throw.
And I think not just throw, but you have to make him throw a lot and tire that arm out. Make him throw beyond 10, 15 yards, because... I mean, if you watched him last night, I mean, it's Monday now that we're recording, but Sunday night, his throws up to 10 or 15 yards were ducks, some of them. And if you're going to make him throw down the field, the Patriots have potential to get, I mean, numerous interceptions and numerous turnovers. I think not enough people are going to be talking about, at least right now, the Broncos running game, especially with C.J. Anderson. He's the one that sort of torched us.
He did.
Earlier
in
the season,
game winner, right?
In overtime. Of course, that game, going back earlier this season when we played the Broncos. Patriots weren't healthy then.
No. Not at all when Gronkowski got hurt in the game.
Yeah, and then Collins.
Collins was out.
Hightower wasn't 100%, I don't think, that game.
No. Allen was obviously out.
Yeah. The secondary was a little bit banged up too, I think. McCourty, I think, was dealing with something. But with another couple days to get healthy and prepare, and with a full squad, I think the Patriots honestly might blow them out of the water.
I mean, you gotta take it with a grain of salt, like who the Patriots had in the last game. But I think they will come out throwing. I think they'll come out and really try to step on the throat early. But I don't know. The game's gonna be close, I think.
Like Chris Harris on the Broncos, he's one of their better corners, and last night he sort of banged up, I think, one of his arms, and I guess his role going forward is going to be a little bit reduced. So if they're planning to put him on, like, Edelman, that could be something we could exploit. Or if they have to take him out, if he gets banged up even more and he has to come out of the game, and they put, like, Bradley Roby in against Edelman, I just think that it's going to be something similar to what we saw in the Super Bowl last year, where Seattle had a very good defense, but we were able to sort of pick them apart with our underneath stuff, with just quick routes, getting the ball out quick.
I mean, that's going to be the key to the Patriots. They don't have a line. They don't have a running game. They don't really have a deep threat, so it's going to be all the under stuff, the quick two-second drop, get it out, throw it to Edelman, throw it to Amendola, and just march down the field, really, first down by first down, 10-yard plays. It's been the key to the dynasty the whole time, really. They haven't had a deep threat since Moss, and they didn't really win anything with Moss. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. It'll be fun. I just hope that everything's called on the level, unlike the last game.
That's the thing. Going into Denver doesn't scare me too much. Playing the actual Broncos doesn't scare me too much. The NFL and the referees might be a little bit of a worrisome point for me. Obviously, the last game, there was a few questionable calls against the Broncos. And, I mean, it's sort of like, this is really going down the conspiracy rabbit hole, but Roger Goodell might not want Tom Brady, after everything that has gone on the past year, really, to be in a position where he has to be handing Tom Brady another Super Bowl trophy.
I hope, and I'd like to think, that that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah, but
you don't know. I don't know. I think you look at the matchups and potential Super Bowl, Brady, Newton, Manning, Newton, they're going to sell that. And then, Carson Palmer?
Yeah.
He's kind of a back shelf to either of those three guys. But I think either one of the quarterbacks, they're going to be able to sell fine.
But with the Cardinals sort of transitioning now to the NFC, they would be able to sell Larry Fitzgerald.
They would.
Who's like one of the all-time like just great guys in the league, and if the Patriots weren't in the picture, I'd love to see Larry Fitzgerald get a Super Bowl before he retires. But speaking of the Cardinals and Larry Fitzgerald, Arizona Green Bay in the first divisional game in the NFC, 26-20, Arizona in overtime. That you were texting me that during the game, and you sort of said like this game isn't real life.
No, I was in the back seat of a car, driving home from Foxborough, listening to the game on the Westwood One feed. Got home with about 4 minutes left, and that was right around the time where they ran the little shuffle pass to Fitzgerald, and he ran it in. And I thought it was over at that point, like, obviously. And they kick it off, and Green Bay just stole overtime there, and obviously then they went back down and scored.
I thought Mike McCarthy was pulling an Andy Reid with his game management. It looked like they were going to run out of time before they could even get Hail Mary off. And for Green Bay, they pretty much saved their season earlier a couple weeks ago against Detroit with that Hail Mary, and to do it again in the playoffs.
Did we talk about that throw? He was off his back foot from the 50-yard line, and he heaved it 50 yards. He didn't even step into it.
And the guy who caught it, Jeff Janis, who...
He was at the 15-yard line when he let go of the ball.
And he made another play right before that, a couple plays before that, where I think Rodgers was sort of scrambled to his right and threw it back across the field.
Oh, yeah, this Janis, from the end zone, Janis was just, 4th and 20.
Janis
yeah.
was just sort of standing there and saw Rodgers start to throw it, and he, I don't know if he panicked or what, but he was able to get to the right spot at the right time and made the catch for the first down. Keep the Packers' hopes alive and to come up with now, that catch at the end.
What was that clock management? Why didn't they not spike the ball? They had like 50 seconds, and they ran it all the way down to about 12.
Yeah.
And then,
that's, like I was saying, like they're going to lose this because of a game management sort of thing. And then, I mean, Mike McCarthy was saved by Aaron Rodgers and Jeff Janis.
Yeah, seriously.
But then, and then you go to overtime, coin flip gate, where the coin
he
wouldn't
do that again if you wanted to.
If you didn't watch, the coin that was tossed in overtime by the referee did not flip. And I guess
Aaron Rodgers pointed it out.
Yeah. What an eye by Aaron Rodgers. And then they had to flip it again. And the Cardinals ended up winning the toss. But then there was some controversy after the game that I guess the rules state that the coin doesn't actually have to flip. And the referee decided to reflip anyway. Rodgers, after the game, was being kind of a crybaby, saying, like, I saw it was on tails to start, so I called heads. And then when it didn't reflip, like, during the reflip, I was going to call heads, or I was going to call tails because he had it up on heads, face up, but he didn't give me time to recall it.
Right.
So he thinks he got screwed on not being able to recall the coin. And then after the game, Clay Matthews, the linebacker for the Packers, was saying, like, oh, like, because I think the coin comes in like a little case or whatever that they used to flip it in, and he was saying that like one side was a little heavier, so it would always land on that side. Another complaint.
There's always something, right?
Yeah, exactly. But then you go to overtime, and the first play of overtime, a little slant route to Larry Fitzgerald, and he takes it down to the 2-yard line.
He toasted the defense.
That was awesome. I wanted him to score so bad.
Oh, everyone did, and you knew he was getting the ball.
Yeah,
you knew they were going back to it. It was a lot like the Brady play where you ran down a one, they challenged it, didn't get anything.
That going back to the Patriots game, that was I loved that play. That was I thought he got in, but Air Brady, sprint Tom sprint. So now going back to Arizona Green Bay, Larry Fitzgerald ends up getting a shuffle pass behind the line of scrimmage to take it in for the win.
Great call.
It was.
He could drive a truck through that hole.
I know. You're not a big Barstool guy, but I am. Big Cat, who runs the Chicago branch of Barstool, has been advocating all year for more shuffle passes in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And for it to come up for a game-winning play in overtime, I know he was psyched about that. He was blowing up on Twitter. Bruce Arians needs to get a lot of credit for that play call.
Shuffle pass, it's got to be used in the right spot because it can be a disaster. If you use it in the wrong place, it can be just ask the Bills in the Super Bowl. I don't know if you've seen the Four Falls of Buffalo thing. They went back and they ran a bunch of shuffle passes in their fourth Super Bowl against the Cowboys. And it wasn't really an aggressive play, but that one, that is. You get Fitzgerald out of the backfield, you dump it to him.
Yeah.
And no one is expecting that. So
yeah. Especially after such a chaotic sort of sequence to go from the Green Bay Hail Mary to the coin flip controversy to Fitzgerald on that slant taking
down. Oh, that game
was
fake. It didn't happen.
The sequence of events, that sort of sudden, I don't want to say sudden change, but that sort of wild way that at the end of the game played out, the shuffle pass there was a perfect play call because everyone's sort of like,
they're going to throw it.
Yeah, their minds are sort of like racing around, and that's not something that you'd think about as a player on defense or even as a coordinator. Like, here comes the shuffle pass after what just happened.
It reminds me a lot what Belichick does on the two-point conversion. Well, they do the direct snap to, was Kevin Falk, and he'd run it in, he did it in the Super Bowl. Or they run the fake, where Brady throws his arm up, and he thinks the ball's over his head, and then he finds Welker in the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
It's all a little coaching things. It's cool to watch, like the game management and stuff. And you want to get into Carolina and Seattle?
Yep. So, Carolina, hot start for the Panthers.
Yeah.
That was, I know, so another thing, Russell Wilson, he's dating Sierra, who's like an R&B artist, and she was formerly,
I have no idea who
that is. So this is more for the rap people like me out there, but she was dating or married to and has a baby with a rapper named Future, and now she's dating Russell Wilson. So now they're saying there was a thing last year where they wouldn't play Future at Seattle Seahawks home games. Like, the DJ thought it was too awkward, and, like, players on the Seahawks were, like, sort of, like, what's up with that? But people on Twitter were saying, did Future kill the Seahawks? Did the Patriots kill the Seahawks because of the Super Bowl last year? That was a wild start to that game.
Yeah, it was. And to think that if Seattle recovers that fumble, none of it happens in the opening drive. But no, I mean, geez, what are you, 14-0 with 5 minutes into the game? Yeah. So.
But then for Seattle to come back and score, I think they scored 24 unanswered, right?
They did. Final was, what, 31-24?
31-24.
If Hauschka makes that field goal at the end of the first half,
yeah,
you could have been.
He's from Needham, I think, right?
Something like that. He's from around here.
He's from Massachusetts. And then on the other side, Luke Kuechly, he had the pick six. He had another great play towards the end of the game, a diving pass breakup.
He's a very good player.
Yeah,
he's from Boston College, right?
BC guy. So that game, I mean, the Panthers, what you have to say about them was they obviously showed their potential for that hot start and to go up a lot of points. They're certainly a fun team to watch, but you could tell in the second half they were playing not to
lose.
They were playing,
yeah, exactly. They were playing not to lose. And, I mean, Grant, Seattle got a lot of what I call plastic points.
Yeah.
It was, but still, I mean, it was in there. They were definitely in it. And if you could say this about a lot of games, there were two more minutes. I think Seattle's tying that game.
Yeah. It was another case of they sort of just ran out of time, but.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see at the end of the game, Russell Wilson was the Russell Wilson
that play
we sort of come to know.
Baldwin, I think it was Baldwin.
Yeah.
In the back of the end zone. That was ridiculous. It's just another Seattle thing. They run the fake punt. They get it. It's just Seattle being Seattle, and then they just ran out of time, really.
Yep. Their onside kick at the end of the game, too.
It was close.
It was. It was sort of similar to the one that Gronkowski got at the end of the Pats Chiefs game, but... horrible job, I want to say, by Carolina. That front line blocking Seattle's players. Because Thomas Davis, who recovered the onside kick, it was like Gronk, he had to jump up in the air and catch it, but he got his legs taken completely out
from
under
destroyed.
Him. There was a chance that he almost fumbled coming down, because that was just like such a...
Who was the Green Bay guy last year who dropped it?
Oh, man, I don't even remember.
I forget his name, but that's how the whole thing started last year. It was the same game.
Yeah.
And they came all the way back.
Yeah, because I remember that game. I remember I tweeted at the Packers that I was on the hands team for 2 years at Matfield High, because I'm a big deal like that. But, yeah, so that was a great game. What we have to talk about is you're not a fan of Cam Newton. And I want to say that specifically for this reason... I'm wearing my Cam Newton dab t-shirt. Shout out to Kayla Presley at Barstool Sports for creating this gem of a shirt. So tell us why you do not like Cam Newton.
I don't know if this goes back to the, you know, angry guy yelling at clouds and shit, but yeah, I don't know. It just goes back to his days at Oregon. I was always rooting against
Auburn.
For Auburn. They played Oregon. I was rooting for Oregon.
See, I'm the same way. I hated Cam Newton at Auburn because I wanted Oregon to win that national championship back in like 2010.
Yeah.
So I've hated him for like since then up until like a couple of years ago. But continue to hate him.
I do. I don't know. The you want to celebrate after you score, that's fine with me. But like after a first down, really, just get back in the huddle. Like,
but you see, like Julian Edelman does some stuff.
Yeah, but he's not the quarterback.
Brady will sometimes do it. Like Aaron Rodgers
Brady
will sometimes
did it. The
do
one
it.
Time I remember Brady doing it is because when he juked out Urlacher in like 2006.
He'll get pumped up.
He was fired up after that.
But so your main thing is that it's because he's the quarterback that...
I think so. Yeah, more like that. And then like... Why do I have to see him like give footballs to
little
kids?
We'll get to that. But so him being the quarterback, is it after he throws?
When he's trying everything. To celebrate? Like why do I need a camera on Cam Newton when the
because
defense is on the
that,
field?
That would
there is goes back to everything. Like, why do I need to see Peyton Manning or even Brady? Like
when
why?
When he dances, I mean it's sort of they're selling his brand.
Yeah.
The thing is, I mean You mentioned like giving the ball, you know, giving balls to little kids in the stands. That's partially to sell like the league. That's the NFL. Oh, yeah. That's the NFL saying we're family friendly. Like, come out and spend your money on us. He'd be doing that. Here's my thing. I think all the smiling, dancing, giving footballs to kids in the stands, all that stuff, he'd be doing it regardless. He could be, you know, playing semi-pro somewhere. I think he'd still be doing that. He's out there having fun, having a good time. That's just who Cam Newton is. Versus someone like J.J. Watt.
I knew you were going
who's
there.
An absolute douchebag. I hate him. I used to like him, and then he became way too self-aware with how good he is. He's an absolute try-hard. The playing catch with kids before games, and he does all that stuff because he knows the cameras are on.
Oh, yeah. And my last, I was on the fence about J.J. Watt, and then the Patriots played the Texans. And he literally got one sack, maybe. I don't think he did. And it was still, into the third quarter, all about J.J. Watt. And the Patriots are up by 27. Like,
and even before
move away from him.
Before that game, too, because that was the game that he had the cast on his hand.
Yeah,
and he had to keep reminding people that, you know, he's not even him, too. He's like the media as well. He's got the club on his hand. He's got the club. He's got some sort of broken bone in one of his fingers. Like, oh, poor J.J. Watt. Look at him. Just the being a tryhard, stuff like that.
My favorite J.J. Watt, Billy O'Brien, thank you for doing this. Put him in the backfield, get him stuck.
That was awesome. I love that.
Pointer interception. That was
awesome. Oh, that was so Texans. That was so Jets of the Texans.
It was so Billy O'Brien. Like, yeah, run the Wildcats some more, Billy. It's really working for
I love him. Bill O'Brien. He's a good guy.
Penn State, he lived right behind me in Medfield, actually.
He gave a pep talk. What was it before one of our games when we were sophomores in high school? He gave a pep talk to our football team 1 year.
Medfield football.
Let's not talk about that. But J.J. Watt still, like, God, I don't like him. But see, there's the difference because people sort of put them on the same level of why they hate people, like why they hate them, or like them even. I think they're two different people because J.J. Watt is doing it to sort of play himself up for the cameras. I mean, if you go ask the people on the Texans, all of his teammates, like during Hard Knocks and stuff, I'm sure they tell you that they don't like the guy.
Oh.
He tries way too hard to be likable, and that makes him unlikable.
He tries too hard to make himself out to be like this hard worker. Like, why do I need to know that a security guy let him into the training facility at 6 in the morning?
Wasn't it this past offseason? He was like, yeah, I'm going to go live in a cabin in the woods for the summer.
Yeah.
For the offseason. Like, you don't have to tell us you did that.
He had a quote a couple years ago. He's like, I'm not going to go out or something on the weekends because, like, this is the time I have to work out and get better and stuff. It's like, cool, but I don't need to know that. Like, why? Just have fun if you want to have fun, but don't be an idiot about it.
And then, what was the... There was some sort of... It's killing me that I'm not remembering the exact, like, charity or whatever that was, like, raising money, but... Oh, it was during Powerball, and J.J. Watt's, like, foundation tweeted out, and we all know that's probably coming from J.J. himself, but tweeted out, like, didn't win the Powerball, but we raised X amount of money for our charity. Like, shut up! Shut up, dude! Like, you don't have to, like, broadcast everything that you do to the world.
Exactly.
Like, what is it about Wisconsin guys that they're such tools? Because you got him and
Russell Wilson,
who's like there's another difference too. Because Russell Wilson's not like I don't hate Russell Wilson, but he's such a nerd.
Oh, he is.
Like he's a tool. Something about Wisconsin guys, whatever they put in the water there, makes them just absolute idiots. But anyway, so moving on. Looking at...
Want to get into the championship games?
Arizona-Green Bay. Or Arizona-Carolina.
Carolina. In Carolina. That's a late game.
Yeah. Which, actually, one other thing I want to say about Carolina-Seattle was now Seattle fans whining about having to go, them going to the East Coast. They have to wake up at 10 a.m. to watch the game. There's a reason that... the Seahawks were waking up early and practicing early so they could get their bodies adjusted. And if you're telling me that the 2014 Super Bowl champion Seahawks and who narrowly lost the game last year, if you're telling me that they were too sluggish and yawning on the field, then good, they should have lost. Because if they were the better team, they would have won.
Didn't they play Green Bay at like 12 o'clock?
Something like that. It's another excuse as to why the Seahawks lost, because we all know
the Northwest is just the softest region.
The 12, man. I hate them.
When the Bruins played the Canucks in the Cup, there were people in Vancouver complaining because the game was at 5. Like, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. If you can't get to the game,
what the West Coast has to understand is that East Coast time runs the world.
It does.
So you have to put up with that. So don't complain that you're living on the West Coast when you know that the world runs on East Coast, New York time.
You didn't lose the Stanley Cup because the game was at 5. It's because you couldn't score at the Garden. But we'll get into hockey some other time.
Just another, I hate the 12s again. But they're right up there with Bills Mafia for me.
Oh, Bills Mafia is hilarious. The
12. They're hilarious, but at the same time, they're annoying as hell.
Yeah, but at least the Seahawks are good.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. All right, so now Arizona-Carolina in the NFC title game. What do you like there?
I like the Panthers. I really do. I haven't been sold on the Cardinals all year, but they've stepped up, obviously. I honestly don't know jack about the Cardinals. I know Carson Palmer's their quarterback. Arians, their coach, and they got Larry Fitzgerald, and Peterson's on defense, and that's about it.
Yeah. Cardinals, I mean, watching the game, you could see.
Yesterday was the first Cardinals game I've watched since 2012 when they were here.
Yeah, the Cardinals, they, you could tell during the game, Carson Palmer, he's a pretty good quarterback, but you could tell he had a couple, like. He had a couple moments where he was like, oh boy, this is bad.
He looked scared shitless.
He looked
first quarter.
He looked like Cincinnati Bengals Carson Palmer a couple times. Like throwing, there is one play where it almost got picked off where he was, I texted you this during the game, where his body was parallel. It was in the red zone or at least close to the 20-yard line.
It was just
line.
A heave to the corner that got picked off.
It almost got picked off. Okay. This is a different one. At least I hope. His body was literally parallel to the goal line, and he was sort of like leaning to his left a little bit and off, like on his heels, and he just throws it like almost sidearm to the right side of the field. So it was just an absolute lollipop, and luckily it didn't get picked off, but it was very close to getting picked off. So he had those sort of moments where it was like, oh boy, like. That's not great, and I think that a Carolina defense, which is better than Green Bay, is going to be able to capitalize on that.
Carolina's defense is underrated. I didn't think they had that good a defense until watching the game.
Keekly's arguably one of the best.
He's an animal.
He's a top 5 linebacker in the league.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got Josh Norman, who's an excellent corner.
Yeah, the corner, right.
Trey Boston, who's a good corner. Safety. And I'm blanking on the other corner.
I have no idea.
But... I think they'll be able to capitalize on Carson Palmer's mistakes. I mean, putting Norman on Fitzgerald and then putting whoever their other cornerback is and possibly doubling or shadowing Josh Brown or Michael Floyd, whoever is going to be that wide receiver too, probably Brown. But I think they'll be able to at least, if not stop, slow down the Cardinals' high-scoring offense that we've seen in the past couple weeks to the point where the Panthers will be able to pull out ahead.
Right. I think the key for the Cardinals is you got to make Newton throw. Yeah. I know that he has been better this year throwing, but you can't get him outside and let him run. I know they'll have design runs and stuff, but you want to contain him and make him throw, and then you got to cover Olsen because he looks like their most dangerous guy in the middle. And then Ted Ginn, but Ted Ginn's just a lollipop. If you can cover him, he's not going to do much.
He's
fast, and he's
their big play threat.
Right.
He's the probably one of the most hit or miss guys in the league. Like if you're playing fantasy,
I'm not a fantasy person.
Throw that out there. DraftKings, if you're listening, I lost some money on you the past year. Just to get that out there, but Ted Ginn, he was I liked drafting Cam Newton in DraftKings because he'd always put up at least 20-25, and most of the time north of that, even up to like 40 points. But Ted Ginn was one of those guys where like he was underpriced, but that was because that you don't know if he was going to put up 0 points with zero catches or you know a 40-point game with 2 touchdowns because he's that kind of player. Greg Olsen, like you said, is obviously he's the safety blanket. He had a great catch in the game towards the end where I mean
a great touchdown catch in the first half.
Yeah, and him and Newton, they've definitely developed a much better chemistry. I mean, Newton's slinging the ball. He's got such a strong arm. And Olsen's got the hands to catch that. But other than those two, I mean, Jonathan Stewart was back full health to establish more of a running game. And then you've got Mike Tolbert, who is, he's what, like 5'9", 290?
Yeah, he's short. He darts in and out of holes and stuff. He's quick.
He's a bowling ball.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, especially now that, since Tyrann Mathieu's been out, I haven't been as impressed with the Cardinals' defense. Because it used to be sort of like what the Patriots had last year with Browner and Revis. Obviously, I don't think Matthew Peterson is as good as that was last year.
Peterson's very good.
Yeah, but now that you've got one side that you know you can attack,
right?
Whatever side Peterson's not on, that's the side that you know you can go after. It opens up just a lot more options for especially this Panthers offense.
I would agree.
So we both agree Carolina is going to be moving on.
Yeah, I got Carolina. And then I think we both got the Patriots.
And what a sneaky relief for the Panthers that they have one loss going into it, going to the playoffs.
What are you, Jim Murray? Like, you can't go undefeated?
Shout out, big Jim Murray. But yeah, so we both have Carolina. We both have the Patriots, obviously. So
rematch of the 04 Super Bowl in Houston.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a fun time.
It was. Except this time, at least we won't have to watch Jake DeLome.
That's true.
Jake DeLome, Steve Smith, he's a nutcase. And then, who's it? Moosin Muhammad?
Yep.
He had a nice kick. Ricky Prohl.
Ricky Prohl,
who lost like two straight Super Bowls. He did.
He lost
two Super Bowls to the Pats.
And then in the first one, he has the greatest quote ever in the Ram Tunnel. He's like, tonight a dynasty is born. And
yeah.
Talking about the Rams, but he was more right about the Patriots there.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the AFC Championship game. I like the Patriots in it because I think getting everybody back, like we said, they're a completely different team with everyone back.
Yeah.
And then Manning is not Manning of yesteryear, whatever you want to say. He is not the same player. So you can make them a really one-dimensional team by making him throw the football. You got to shut down the run. And Belichick's good at that. He'll take your best asset and he'll shut it down. And then it's just up to everybody else to play the football game. But no, I like Brady, and I think you can agree with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping to see Jimmy Garoppolo because that means that
the human victory cigar.
It's time to let it the human victory cigar. So that's going to be. I'm hoping that we get to see Jimmy Garoppolo play in the AFC Championship game, only for that reason.
I want to look this up. When was the last time a backup quarterback played for the Patriots in the playoffs? Was it Bledsoe?
I think it might have been Bledsoe. It would have been. Would we call Castle? Because if they had made the playoffs, would we have called Castle a backup?
No, he was a starter. He was a starter. Have both playoff quarterbacks played? Like, has Brady played, and then somebody off the bench come in the later half? I don't know.
I think Bledsoe was the last one.
I think it was. We haven't really blown anybody out that much in the playoffs to have the other guy come in.
Well, did Garoppolo take a knee against Indy last year? I forget if he did.
I don't know. We have to look that up. That was the second playoff game I haven't been to. I was in the doldrums of Maine in Bridgeton. But I don't know.
Poor Matt. Only another game that he couldn't go to.
Yeah. He did end up going to the Super Bowl, so there was that.
Screw you. Yeah. All right. So we have Carolina Pats, obviously. It's a little too early to talk about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, still 3 weeks out.
These games haven't even happened yet. I do have, if that is going to be the Super Bowl, it's going to be past Carolina. I do have an idea of someone that either we could have on, or if depending on timing, like I have to talk to or whatever. But I have an idea of a Panthers fan that I could try and get on to preview this game. I will tell you off air because I want to keep it a surprise if it's able to happen. But yeah.
Look at us teasing things in the first episode.
I know. Trying to send a guest. We don't even have a name yet.
We don't have a name.
All right, so to end this basically, so we pretty much all the football talk we've gone through. To end it, so like we said, we're going to be doing primarily Boston sports. I know we're setting up, we're looking forward to hopefully some Bruins playoff games.
There better be Bruins playoff games.
When we get out of school, certainly some Red Sox games throughout the summer. We're going to be talking, you know, pretty much any Boston sports that's going on, but we're going to be talking about, you know, any big stories. So if the, God forbid, the Patriots are not in the Super Bowl, we're still going to talk about that. When it comes out that Peyton Manning is using steroids and HGH and stuff, we're going to talk about that.
Mix in a little bit of college hockey, too.
Yeah, so anything miscellaneous that we want to talk about, we're going to talk about that.
Got the bean pot coming up.
We do. Matt's a big BU hockey guy, college hockey guy in general.
Could get overshadowed by the Super Bowl.
That's the day before the bean pot. So I want to say, do you not want to talk about BU-BC?
I'll talk about it a little bit. Friday night was interesting. They kind of got hosed by a late penalty, but...
See, now I didn't watch it because I'm not a college hockey
guy. Yeah, so anybody who doesn't know BU hockey, I write a blog, kind of cover some stuff about the team for the last 5 or 6 years. My dad went to BU, and then I took over season tickets. Well, we still have season tickets. We go to the games all the time. Anyway, this Friday, tie game. BU's just scored on the power play with about 4 minutes left. Nice shot by Matt Lane. And over in the corner, Bobo Carpenter gets his stick stepped on. And the BC player, Sanford, I believe, he falls down. BC gets a power play. And 5 seconds later, they score, and they win the game. 4-3, they got an empty netter late. And then, I believe Saturday? Yeah, Saturday. Patriots game. Didn't get to go to the BU game. They tied 1-1. So, for anybody who follows Hockey East, I think BC's up in the top in the league. BU's right around 6 right now, 6 or 5. Top 4 teams get a bye in the Hockey East playoffs. So, that's obviously something desirable. But I'll try to keep this as unbiased as possible and not just cover BU. We'll talk about everything. We'll do a little bean pot before the first Monday in February. But
I'll try and watch some bean pot. I make no promises.
Hey, it's on Messen, so at least the first
one. I make no promises about watching it. The same way I'm a big soccer fan and you don't care about soccer at all. So no promises that you're going to watch any soccer either. But
I'll watch the World Cup. Oh, we got the Olympics this summer.
We do. That'll be something good to cover, especially, you know, if we've got any sort of wacky stories coming out of that, I'm sure. Especially with Brazil.
Apparently it's happening. It's still happening in Brazil. Like,
In the event that, you know, somebody becomes like a mutant or something.
Yeah, we got like the three-eyed fish from The Simpsons.
Yeah, because of Brazil's awful water and living conditions right now. Hopefully, I mean, I don't want to wish anything like that upon somebody, but if it happened to happen, that would be something fun to talk about. So covering Boston sports, more in like that, a tighter scope, and then covering sort of the broader sports world.
Does this mean I have to watch the Celtics?
No, you don't have to.
No,
okay. I'll try and cover Celtics as much as I can. Do you want to plug anything else other than blog?
I got nothing right now. If I start anything new, we'll...
Twitter? I know you're not, like, you don't tweet a ton.
I don't. I mainly tweet about BU on the BU account. And the other stuff is just, I don't know, personal. So, yeah, we'll keep it at that.
Well, I'm going to plug my Twitter because I think I'm pretty funny, even though I'm probably not. At The Situation 508, that's SITU, and then the word Asian, 508. Follow me there. You probably won't for the 3 people that are listening to this. We're going to try and get this on iTunes. I'm trying to figure out the kinks to that.
Do we want
to
hit, like, high school sports, too, if it's, like, a big deal in that field?
No
one really gives a shit about
it. No one really does. Maybe if lacrosse wins again, we can mention it in passing.
Mostly professional.
It's going to be mostly pro in college. I mean, if Medfield Hockey makes a run.
Yeah.
Because I know you're an alum of Medfield Hockey.
Represent.
Might be talking about that a little bit. I'm going to try and work out the kinks to get this onto iTunes to make it easier.
We can get to 13 people instead of 3 people.
And then also, we need names. We need a name for this because we do not have a name right now. I do not even know what I'm going to put this into SoundCloud as for the time being.
Sportscast or whatever, but that's probably taken.
We're going to workshop some names. We're going to take suggestions from anyone that's listening. None of you. And then, I don't know, maybe talk to some people we know. We've got a buddy that does some sort of graphic design.
Brett.
What's up, Brett?
Brett.
Maybe take a suggestion from Brett. get him to do some cover art for us. Yeah, anything else?
No, I think I'm good for right now.
And then what I want to talk about is the intro song, and the song you're going to hear for the outro is Your Love by the Outfield, commonly referred to as Josie, that is played at Patriots games on their wing in the fourth quarter.
We usually do it going into the fourth quarter, but they did it after the game this time, which is a little weird. They did it after
the Super Bowl last year, too, when they won. So we've decided that as long as the Patriots are in the playoffs, that's going to be our song. But going forward, we're going to have different music coming in and out of each podcast. So
we'll take your suggestions, too.
Yeah, and me and Matt have very different taste in music. We overlap a little bit, but not. It's a rare occurrence.
It is.
So we might even play a little game where you have to guess who.
Guess who played the music?
Yeah, guess who chose the music for that week. So I think that just about wraps up episode one of this unnamed sports podcast.
See you in a week.
Yeah, we're going to try and do this weekly, but again, no promises there. We're going to see how the schedules work out for each of us at school. But any last words?
Go Pats.
Go Pats. Talk to you later.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.